I know I say this every time I exhort, but as usual, I was taken a bit aback last week when hearing I was on the schedule this week to exhort. I usually exhort every June and in December, and then all of a sudden I'm exhorting in September, and I didn't, and it kind of threw me. So I find myself again at a loss of what to talk about. As those of you who know, who have heard me exhort before, I usually like to draw on things that are kind of happening to me in my life or things that I see around me, things that I observe, and I find it really helps me to connect more emotionally to what I'm saying. If I figure if I can do that, then I'll probably help you do the same as well. But I feel like I hadn't really noticed anything meaningful recently, and I looked at the day that I'd be exhorting, and what were on the readings for that day, and I tried to, find something, and I noticed that we were having our pancake breakfast that day. I was this close to talking about pancakes, but the deep meanings behind pancakes left to wait for another day. I then realized what I'd be doing this weekend, and I realized that my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary party was going to be the day before, which was yesterday, and I know many of you were there and are in town for that reason. And I thought it'd be a good opportunity to show my appreciation to them, and I didn't get in the video for very much last night, so I'm going to do all my stories right here. I got my, just half an hour straight of this funny stories, and no, it's I think it's a great opportunity to look at grandparents in the Bible, see if there is any lessons to kind of draw from that and from their examples, and kind of see what we can learn from that, and I think learning about their influence on their children and grandchildren through the scripture might give us a better appreciation of our grandparents and what they do for us and how they help us spiritually. So we're going to go through the Bible and kind of maybe look through some examples and kind of see what we can learn. And the first thing I learned about grandparents in the Bible is that there are not very many grandparents in the Bible. Obviously, there are grandparents. Obviously, people have children and then they have children, so that makes that the first people, grandparents. But you never actually hear about them, and you only really usually hear about people interacting with the generation beneath them. I mean, Abraham will interact with Isaac, and then Isaac will be with Jacob, but you never really hear about Jacob hanging out with Abraham, even though it's obvious that they coexisted, and even searching for the words, I searched for grandparent, grandparents, grandmother, grandfather, grandfathers, everything. Only one shows up in the entire King James Version. In 1 Timothy 5, it says Lois is Timothy's grandmother. That's it. That's the only instance in all of Scripture. And it's obvious that grandparents play a huge, role in the Bible as much as they do today in our lives. I mean, Adam was alive for 930 years. Genesis 5 tells us that he would have been old enough to know his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson Lamech before he died. So it's obvious that, Adam was alive that whole time. He probably, interacted with all of his grandsons and great-grandsons, before he died. And but you just don't really hear about that. So I realized I have to look at this in a kind of different way to kind of draw a lesson here. And then I realized something that seems so simple and probably sounds, too simple, but once you look at it in this perspective, it makes it so much easier to study. I realized a simple observation that your grandparents are your parents' parents. And this is obviously incredibly obvious. For me, it actually is kind of a strange thing. So it's kind of a strange thing to think about. And hearing all the stories from last night of all of my my mom and my aunts and my uncle talk about, stories from when they were growing up, and it's kind of weird to you because as a grandchild, you don't see any of that. I mean, when you're brought into the world, you're the child and they're the parent, and you usually don't see any parenting happening between your grandparents and your parents. It's kind of a strange idea to think of your parents as kids, that they were growing up one day, obviously just like you. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, but it is kind of a foreign concept, I think, to many of us who don't get to see that part in our parents' lives. And you know, it's I think it's kind of an interesting way to think about it that way. And you know, you're always under the authority, you know, of your parents. They don't really have that authority over them as long as you know them. And it's kind of a foreign concept to lots of people. And I started to think of the fact that our parents, their, you know, biggest role for us is to form us and to raise us to be, you know, members of the ecclesia and to be, you know, self, you know, dependent people who can be walking, you know, towards the kingdom and to all, you know, to all be in this together. And it's a huge part of being a parent. And I think it's interesting to think of our grandparents as the people who do that role for your parents. I mean, your parents form you very, very similarly, we found out last night, to the way that their parents form them usually. That's kind of they usually draw from the lessons and the principles that are taught from their parents, and they pass those along to you in the hopes that you will one day pass that along to your children, and they kind of will, you know, hopefully go on like that. So I think we're gonna keep looking at that side of it a little bit. Please turn to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, we're kind of hearing about this idea of passing along your lessons to, you know, through the generations. Verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. So this verse tells us that we are to make known the things we learn in this life, especially the things that God teaches us to our children and to our children's children. So there definitely is some level of teaching that grandparents, you know, can do to their grandchildren. And I think you also heard a lot about that last night. Not only the children were talking about the things that they learned from growing up, but all the grandkids were saying, you know, things that they learned, things that they observed from their grandparents. I think that's true of all of us who have known our grandparents, that we can, you know, we learn lots of things from observing them and observing their lives. And one thing that kind of stuck out to me that Sarah mentioned about Grandpa is that he's always thirsting for knowledge. She called him a walking dictionary, and that he's always, you know, looking for knowledge. He's always interested and willing to share that with you, you know, and discuss that with you. And it's kind of a pretty good example right there of him going to impart his wisdom. And several people in the video last night did say that, you know, they do feel that Grandpa does impart a lot of wisdom sometimes, if you want it or not, but it's he does. That is a major aspect of, you know, the way that he has raised all of his kids and grandkids, and is, you know, always come off as very wise. And let's continue in Deuteronomy, just a couple pages over, Deuteronomy 6, and we'll just go to verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, and impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This verse tells us basically the same thing, that we need to put God at the forefront of our children's minds at all time, and to, you know, impress it upon them even when they're walking down the street. And you know, the Israelites here are told to have it on their door frames and gates. And I don't know about the door frame, but my grandparents, for the longest time, I don't know if it's still there, I think it is, have had a plaque in their house hanging up that that says, it's a verse from Joshua 24:15. Is it still there? Yeah, it's still there in their living room. It says, you don't have to look it up, but it's, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think it's a great thing to kind of put in your household, right there in the middle of the household, where everyone usually congregates and can read that. It's obviously a great message we've seen from our lives and from these verses, that by doing a great job raising your children in Christ, they will usually, you know, turn around and raise their kids the same way. We also, you know, probably think about the verse from Proverbs 22, verse 6. You can go ahead and turn to that really quick. It's pretty popular verse I'm sure some people will already have known, but let's just turn there anyways. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's simple. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This tells us obviously that training up somebody properly when they're young means that even when they grow up, they'll remember what they've been taught. Again, it's sometimes strange to think of our parents as kids, but we see that, you know, it's their parents, our grandparents, that are responsible for training them up properly in the way they should go. And when they're older and therefore, you know, usually having kids, they will not depart from it. Then all they have to do is try to impart the same lessons to their kids, and when they grow older, and you know, that's kind of the hope as parents and eventually grandparents and great grandparents that you know that the lessons that you have taught will, you know, make it down through the generations, and the lessons that you have learned from the Bible you will be able to impart to all your grandkids and great grandkids and all that stuff. There are many more verses in the Bible concerning raising your kids properly. We don't have time for all of them, but I did want to make sure to mention that we are also cautioned in the Scriptures to not be too overbearing with our children in this. One word that was used several times last night to describe my grandparents by their children was loving. Gentleness was used. I'm sure they had their moments like all parents do, but none of the kids talked about, you know, being, you know, disciplined or being, you know, too, them being too overbearing or, you know, and I think that's a great lesson, and it's very important, I think, that we don't be too forceful with what we're trying to teach our kids, but, you know, try to raise them in a way so that they actually enjoy, you know, what's being taught to them and learn not to, you know, resent it. A good verse to talk about that is Colossians 3, verse 20. There we go. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 3, verse 20. Says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And other versions will say, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. This is a great reminder to us not to be too firm in our teachings to our children, but, you know, we need to be firm sometimes, but not too firm in that it'll turn them off from it. My mom said in her part of the video last night that she believes they're always raised in an environment of imperfections, and it got a few laughs when everyone heard it, but it is it's true, and it's very important. You know, if you're shoving your beliefs in your kids' faces, not letting them see a realistic portrayal of kind of how difficult this life can be and how difficult this walk can be, it's not giving them realistic expectations, is the word my mom uses. You know, when she grew up, she had a very realistic view of how she thought marriage would be, how she thought, you know, having children would be, because of the way that she saw it with my grandparents. I think that's really, really important to not make everything too, you know, rose-colored and, you know, bright all the time. Sometimes things do get tough, but that's important for your kids to learn just as much as the rest of it. And I think this idea of us being imperfect humans that, you know, constantly making mistakes. And that brings us to the emblems this morning as we ask for, you know, forgiveness for our mistakes and for our sins. Obviously, Jesus was trained up as a child properly, just like it says in Proverbs 22. And I actually didn't even ask for that reading, but that's a great Luke 1, hearing about Mary. And while God wasn't able to, you know, physically be there in the way that, you know, Mary was for Jesus being born and being raised, you know, he obviously played a huge part. You know, he's obviously God's father, but I think his role in Jesus' actual development really isn't unlike that of a grandparent. of a grandfather. I mean, he wasn't always there physically, but the lessons that he imparted to Mary and Joseph were being passed along to Jesus. You know, also, even though Jesus eventually did grow up and he's able to speak to God directly, and I'm sure he's very thankful for, you know, all this when he was growing up, but he was never actually there to see all the things that Mary went through. And we kind of read a little bit about it, but in this instance, I think God, as a grandfather, really does kind of shine through. He was there with Mary in those difficult times and trying to find somewhere to, you know, give birth to Jesus. And we know that Mary probably actually encountered some very difficult, you know, social issues with her not being married yet, but also, you know, being pregnant. And he sent an angel to explain the situation, Gabriel, and to kind of comfort her and encourage her. And though, even though Jesus was the first person that God had directly, you know, had direct intervention in the actual childbearing process, we know that God was already a father many times over. He breathed life into mankind and had seen many of his sons and daughters do many wonderful things and terrible things. He knew what he was doing as a parent, and he knew how to bring Mary and Joseph along through this process in what must have been a very trying time for them. He is endlessly loving and forgiving, as grandparents should be. That was also, you know, words that you heard a lot last night. And he's always, you know, there for the with the wise advice. Obviously, having God as a direct father would probably be very helpful in that he was always there to give you, advice, and you knew that it, without the shadow of a doubt that he was correct. And it's like coming now to the emblems, where we remember what must have been one of the saddest times for God as a parent, remembering the sacrifice that Christ made for us at the request of God, his Father. It was made all the more powerful to me when, after looking at the biblical topic of kind of having children and, you know, being a grandparent, but also, you know, how grandparents are just parents from a different generation that, you know, raise kids, and just like your parents did, and it must have been very difficult time for them. And also, obviously, not to mention Mary and the rest of Christ's earthly family, who had a very difficult time with this whole sacrifice as well. I hope it makes the emblems more powerful to you. And as a grandchild of these two wonderful people, I'd like to just close with a verse from Proverbs 17:6 and one story that I didn't get to tell last night. But we will go to Proverbs 17:6 first to kind of set everything up. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers." This shows us that we are like the crown of our grandparents, and, you know, it's something that they display proudly. And you always hear about, you know, how proud, you know, other grandkids, grandparents always are. They're always talking about them to other grandparents and saying all the things that they've done or all that stuff. And I know it's definitely important for grandma and grandpa seeing all eight of their grandkids there last night. And before we close, I do want to share one of my stories from growing up to kind of, you know, talk about this and kind of call back to this verse here in Proverbs. A few of the kids in the video talked about their special days with my grandparents. I did the same thing a few times. Me and Levi went to a day at Disney World once with grandma, just the three of us, and that was a lot of fun. And once my grandpa took me plane gliding. Now, plane gliding was actually mentioned in last night's video, but what it is, if you're unaware, was you get in this plane, just you and a pilot in a tiny cockpit, and it's a plane that has no propeller or motors of any kind. You get pulled by a cable that's attached to a real plane, and they pull you up a few thousand feet high, and then they disconnect the cable. And you basically just kind of glide down in this plane for a few minutes until you land on the ground. And you kind of swoop, you know, back and forth, and they even let you drive if you want to. So Grandpa drove me out a couple hours into the desert, and he wouldn't tell me what we were doing, where we were going. And when he told me what we were doing, explained when we got there, I was terrified. I was really scared. However, I made sure not to show any fear. You see, I was the brave grandchild, so Levi was always too scared. He didn't go on roller coasters or anything, so I knew if I showed fear, that I wouldn't be taken on these cool, you know, exciting, daring, you know, trips anymore. So I had to have a brave face for the whole process. And you know, this is also quite a while back now. The next oldest grandchild would have been Naomi, and she was like 5 or 6. So, you know, I was it as far as doing this these exciting things. And he obviously has no fear. He's gone skydiving before. So, he can really ask anybody else. So this guy tells me a perfectly good and safe plane will carry us up a couple thousand feet, and then you basically drop in a heavy piece of metal that you're buckled to with no parachutes or anything, and you just kind of go, and he's supposed to land it, and I didn't understand it. You could land something with no engines like that. I thought you just drop straight, but that's not how it worked. But I was so scared, and I wanted to be brave, and I wanted to kind of do this in a way to kind of bring glory to my grandfather, and kind of a way to kind of show him that I'm really appreciating this time together and this gift that he's giving me of this great opportunity and this fun thing to do. And it's obviously a more lighthearted example, but I think that, you know, daily and just, you know, spending time with your grandparents and, you know, having that time together is so important. And I ended up braving it out, and I loved every minute of it. I even got to drive the plane for a little bit. But, you know, you don't obviously have to plane glide to bring glory to your parents or to your grandparents, but to spend time with them and love them is just a great way to bring glory to them, and also to bring glory to God. By showing this love to your family members is a great way to, you know, bring glory to Him and to thank God for giving you this wonderful family that you can spend time with. So, as we turn now to the emblems and say our prayer of forgiveness for our sins, let's ask for the strength to go out into this week and be a better servant of Christ than we were the week before. We need to make sure that we not only walk faithfully on our road to the kingdom for God's glory, but also for the glory of our family, the glory of our fathers, and for the glory of our fathers' fathers.